kind of an awesome evening last night with the show choirs, Des Moines Christian School. And did you want to follow them? You want to follow them? Just follow the flag. With the show choirs of Des Moines Christian School. And one of the things, one of the songs they sang was, My Name is Called Child of the True King. Did I get that right? I think My Name is Called Child of the True King. I was thinking about that this morning with Kevin baptizing his grandson. Does that make sense to you? That we baptize our children. I mean, I would imagine many of you, when you're baptized, you probably don't remember that day. To have a grandfather baptizing your grandson, that's just an awesome privilege. Just invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 89. To Psalm 89. The question that I want you to reflect with me this morning out of the context of Psalm 89 is simply this. Am I able to trust God's faithful love even when life hurts? As you open your Bibles, would you just join me in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, you have promised to speak your word of truth. You have promised to speak your word of encouragement. You have promised to speak your promises. This morning, O Father, as we open your word, your living word, your revealed word, it is our prayer that your word, your Holy Spirit, your truth, your love, touch us and speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus we pray, amen. To Psalm 89, I just want to read the first few verses and ask you to keep your Bibles open. Where the psalmist says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your great love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. The word of the Lord. One of the songs that I heard last night in the show choir again is a song by Kerry Roberts. And the words go something like this. I know you can take away the pain, but if not, I will trust you no matter what. The grandfather, Kevin, father of Brenda, grandfather of Ian, they were standing here at the baptismal font, and I don't know if you felt, if you understood, if you realize how awesome that moment really is. For the one who has made the heavens and the earth, the one who has created everything that exists, has said to this little child, to this infant child, I will set you apart and I will give you a name that belongs to you. You are now set apart as God's own child, a child of the true King. Did you hear the promises? Did you hear the vows? Did you understand the profound significance of what it means that the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth says to you, I will love you. I will never take my love from you. The first point that I would like to have you consider is simply this, that God's faithfulness is the foundation, is rooted in His very character. Because you know that when God makes a promise, you know, you believe, you have heard it said again and again, when God makes a promise, He will keep it. So notice how Psalm 89 begins. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. That really is quite amazing. That really is quite amazing when you look around us in the world in which we live, where we are surrounded by unfaithfulness all around. Last Sunday, we spent some time in Romans chapter 8. And just a brief reminder, Paul said, I am convinced by all that God has said, by all that God has done, I am convinced that God works for the good of those who love Him. We just stayed there for a moment. What does it take to convince a person in his mind, in his heart? What does it take to convince a person that God will keep His promise and work for the good of those who love Him? And again, Paul says, I am convinced that in all the troubles and all the afflictions and everything that comes against me in life, I am convinced that I am, that we are more than conquerors. Well, some of you have gone through some tough life situations. Things that you've wrestled with. Things that have disturbed your world. Are you convinced that we are more than conquerors in everything that life presents to us? And again, Paul says, I am so convinced that God works for the good. I am so convinced that we are more than conquerors, so much to the point that I am convinced that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Now, I just want to dwell on that for just a moment. I am convinced. I am persuaded. I am fully convinced. Is that something we generate within ourselves? You got to kind of hype up your sense of conviction, your sense of trusting God to the point you can say, yeah, I know it's tough, but I'm convinced. That's not what Paul means. It's not something within ourselves. Paul says, I know the history. I have seen the history of what God has done ever since the beginning of creation. The life of Abraham. I have seen the history. I know the history of a God who keeps His promises. I have heard what God has said. So it's what God has said, what God has done that convinces me. It's not anything within myself. It's what God has done, what God has said. But now you hear, you get to Psalm 89, where the psalmist says, with my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Now you look around us, the world in which we live. You go to work tomorrow, and some of you have the blessing. Just talking with somebody this morning, some of you have the blessing of working with people you trust. They're not only working with you, they're kind of have become a friend. You can share your thoughts, your emotions. But I would imagine there are also some of you, you go to work tomorrow morning, you look at one person and or another, you say, you know, I'm not really certain I can trust working alongside that person today. We live in a broken world. As Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. And Paul says in Ephesians 5, let no one deceive you with empty words. But here's the psalmist who says, with my mouth. I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. And notice how he puts that in the context of what God has made, of what God has said. I have seen creation. I have seen what God has done. I have heard what God has said. And now with my mouth I will make known his faithfulness. But then secondly, not only do we live in a fickle world in which unfaithfulness is very common, the faithfulness of God is also something that is simply reveals the very character of who he is. Take a look at verse 5. The heavens declare your faithful love. The assembly of the mighty ones declares your faithfulness. Now, unless you understand what the psalmist is saying there, it kind of slipped right over you. Just imagine the psalmist standing out in the middle of a field late at night. He looks at the stars, the heavens. And every night he looks, the stars are always there in the same place. They never move. Every night. They're the stars. There's a Big Dipper. And all the other constellations, they're there. And from the human eye, they never seem to change. They never seem to vary. They're always where I expect them to be. That's what the psalmist is saying. Everything that he looks around in creation, everything is so unchanging in terms of the majesty and glory of creation. It's just like God. He reveals himself as the unchanging one by the very majesty of his creation. Again, I just invite you, every time you are at a lakeside, canoeing down a river, enjoying a sandy beach in Florida in midwinter, or Arizona, or wherever you go in the midwinter break, or even if you're stuck here in Iowa in a midwinter bleak, you have to go to work when it's 10 below in the morning. Just take a moment to recognize the faithfulness of God in creation. This is a setting, this is a stage of what the psalmist says about the faithfulness of God. And I want you to understand what he's doing. He's going to lead you into how we take that whole concept, that whole belief that we have that God is faithful in all his ways. How do you stand on that in a situation when life really, really sucks? When life hurts. I just want to explore one more thought with you. Not only is it rooted in God's character and how he reveals himself, but the next slide, that God's faithfulness is displayed in his unfailing love. Take a look at verse 33. For God says this, I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. That's what God was saying this morning in the sacrament of baptism. I will love you, this child. The same promise that is given to you, to each one of you. I will never take my love from you. I will never take my love from her. I will never ever betray my faithfulness. And I want you to have your Bibles open to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, beginning with verse 30. I want you to see how incredible this promise of God is. What does it mean when God says, I will never ever take my love from him, never betray my faithfulness? God says this in verse 30. even if his sons forsake his laws. I will never take my love from him, even if they do not follow the statutes. I will never take my love from him, even if they violate my decrees. I will never take my love from him, even if they fail to keep my commands. Have you ever had the thought in your mind, in your walk with God, the question, how do I know that God will never take his love from me? I mean, just look at my life. There are times I really mess it up. Times that I really have even turned my back upon God. How do I know that God will never take his love from me? I don't even know if I deserve to be called a child of the true King. Here's what the psalmist says as he reveals the mind of God. I will never, ever take my love from him. But now notice. Notice in verse 32. I will not overlook. I will not dismiss. I will not ignore what they have done. That's a sobering promise. That God will not overlook, not ignore the things that we have done to bring dishonor to his name for the way we live. But then he says again in verse 33, even if they do not follow me, even if, I will punish them, I will discipline them, but I will never, ever take my love from him, from her. Now there's a reason why the psalmist begins. If you have your Bibles open, take a look at verse 1 again. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. Now I want to bring you into the scripture. I want to bring you into Psalm 89. In the back of your mind, hear the echoes of what Paul says. I am convinced that God works for the good of those who love him. I am convinced that I am more than a conqueror in all the afflictions and all the troubles of life. I am convinced that there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. And here the psalmist says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. Now if you have your Bibles, verse 38. Lord, you have rejected. You have spurned. You've been very angry with your anointed one. You renounced the covenant. You defiled his crown. You've broken through his walls, reduced his strongholds, and all who passed by have plundered him. Again, he was on and on and on. So that finally, in verse 49, O Lord, where is your love? Where is your promise? And he's basically saying, I thought you promised that the throne of David would last forever. And here I am now living in exile. And it just seems as if, God, you're hiding your face. It just seems as if all that I've experienced in an unfaithful world, filled with broken lies and broken promises and the debris all around, that your promises are just like all the rest. Now you take Psalm 89, and I want to ask you this question. When your world becomes distorted and twisted, you come home, you just want to find a place to hide. It's just been tough. What thoughts What song do you begin with? Do you begin with verse 38? Verse 38 or verse 46, how long will you hide your love forever? Is that where you begin in a day when life just seems to turn against you? Or are you going to be able to stand on the promises of God? Like the high school students sang last night, I know you can take away the pain, but if not, I will trust you no matter what. That's where the psalmist begins. He's living in exile, and he cannot see, he cannot experience the presence of God's love. It seems as if God's love has been hidden, that God has gone away. But notice, you go back to verse 1. Notice where he begins. And this is important. If you have a day where everything crashes in around you, and you begin, oh Lord, where are you? You have nowhere to go. There are no answers. There are no words when you begin your prayers, your thoughts in that direction. Everything is just empty and black, meaningless, without purpose. But if you begin here with the promises of God, I will call you by name. And as a response, you say, my name is called Child of the True King. You stand with the psalmist in verse 1. In the midst of life brokenness, in the midst of the debris, the rubble of life, in all its disappointments, in all its discouragements, you stand there, you sit there, but you begin your song. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. You know how profound that is? In the midst of a marriage that is threatened with failure, you know how important that is when a friendship seems to be broken. You know how significant that is when the doctor gives you a diagnosis that just unsettles you. Do you know how important that is when you lose a job or when anything in life comes against you? You could begin, Lord, I thought you promised. I heard you say, I seen what you've done, but where are you? Or you begin, Lord, I want to sing of your great love forever. I see your faithfulness displayed in the heavens, in the majesty of what you created. That's where I want to begin. And then you stand there in the presence of God's promises. And then you say, as God embraces you with his faithful love and holds you in his hands, then you can say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. I'm really hurting. Life really sucks. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But Lord, no matter what, I will trust you. No matter what. I want you to close the message this morning. with a prayer. As you look at the screen, if you have your Bibles open to Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of your great love forever. Together, the screen just before this, if you would, Todd. No, the screen following. I'm sorry. There we go. I just want you to pray this prayer together as a child of the true King. As you look up at the screen, as you lift your heart to God, lift all that takes place in your life, all that you are, every thought, every emotion, and pray this prayer together as God's people. And together we say, Lord, help me live my life each day so that others are able to see the evidence of your faithful love and a reflection of Christ living in me. I want you to carry that with you, because there are those working, living all around you that have been burned by unfaithfulness in one way or another. And they are desperately looking for a glimpse, for a touch, somewhere in this broken world, a glimpse or a touch of God's faithfulness. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for the people of this congregation, for those who face difficulty because of illness and sickness, who face life-threatening situations. We pray for those who grieve, for those who mourn, for those who sorrow. We pray for those who struggle economically. We simply ask that you bless the elders and the deacons of this congregation. That you bless Pastor Jim and Winnie. That you bless each child, each high school student, each college student. That whatever we face, whatever comes against us, that we can always stand on the promises that you have given. Father, we lift our hearts to you in praise. We open our hands to you in adoration. We desire to follow you, to walk with you all the days of our life, step by step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to stand for the blessing. And then as we leave to make ready ourselves to serve our God in His kingdom, to sing together 10,000 reasons. Would you stand to receive?